I believe all those who were supposed to attend this meeting are there, and so you may want to call the meeting to order.
Okay, thank you so much, Martin. And dear colleagues and friends, apologize me for this delay. I am running. It's real running. Thank you so much. Allow me to say a few words in the beginning of our meeting. To say thank you all to be present and to accept be member of this board that will select the winner of the Kremi Passi Prize. It's an honor for me to have a meeting with you and involving former presidents of IPU and high-level representatives of the geopolitical groups in this board, because it shows that the parliamentarism is the essential core of democracy. And so with everything we do, we should do, we may do to promote the strength of parliamentarism is very important. And this is one more step to do it. And so, in accordance with the values of our founder fathers, Kremi and Passi, in their honor, we will give this prize every year to a parliamentarian alive that dedicates all his or her life to defend democracy and the parliament. And so, I believe that your task, I am saying your task, because I and Martin, we will not vote, and so it's more easy for us. But your task will not be so easy, because you will decide who will be the winner. And first of all, for the first year, and this is one good example, and after it, I believe that for the future, it will be more easier to do it. And so, I have with us the Professor Zaidov representing Euroasia, our President Gabriela Cuevas representing GRULAC, the Speaker Rebecca Kadaga representing the African Group, and I think that's all for now. But I believe that President Casini accepted also to be member of this group, as the President Chaudhry from President Casini from the 12 plus, and President Chaudhry from the Asia Pacific group.
And Mr. President, Mr. Casini is more than happy to accept to be part of this group.
Okay. Thank you so much. And so, this is the composition of our group, of our board, that will decide who will be the winner. Allow me to remember our rules. I believe that all of you are aware of the rules. And so, before the 31 of March, the candidatures of nominees should be sent to the Secretariat of IPU. This candidature should be from a geopolitical group of the MP and with the accordance of the delegation. I remember the discussion we had in the executive committee when we decided to create the prize. This prize should be something that can unify all of us and not something that should divide IPU. And so that's why we arrange these criteria. For instance, if the country A thinks to nominate someone from a country B, it will not be accepted, because otherwise we may interfere in their internal political issues. And I remember we discussed it a lot. The same between geopolitical groups. This is the second level of assurance that we got. Because you can't imagine, for instance, right now we all know the conflict we have right now. You can't imagine if the 12 plus decide to nominate someone from the opposition in Belarus. It's something that will interfere in internal issues of this country. And so it is not possible in accordance with our rules. Should be a proposal by the delegation and after it approved by the geopolitical group of this MP of the country. And so only after it may be acceptable by the IPU Secretariat, and the board will have a full candidature, a complete candidature in accordance with the rules. And we should take, you should take a decision very soon, because we wish to present the award, the winner, because the award will be given during the next assembly, during the second assembly each year. So in Kigali in 2022. But we will announce the winner in our day of anniversary of IPU and also the day of democracy. And so you should agree on that before these days. Of course, now we will have something important, is to decide or to create a definition of criteria, because it will be more easy if you have the criteria defined, and after it to decide who will be the winner. The Secretary of IPU received one candidature from the Arab group, Deputy Speaker Jamal Fakhro from Bahrain, from the Asian Pacific group, two candidates, Fahd Lizon, our colleague from President of the Committee of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, and also Bart Truari Matab from India. From GRULAC, we received two candidatures as well, Cindy Lopez Castro from Mexico and Augusto Gomes Villanueva, also from Mexico. The 12 plus present something that is possible in accordance with our statutes, but will not be easy to decide. The chairman and all MPs of Verkhovna Rada, the parliament of Ukraine. Because in our rules, it's written that we can give the award to one or to a group of MPs. And this is the proposal of the 12 plus. Also, we have the proposal of EuroAsia. Our former president, Saber Chaudhry from Bangladesh. And this is why Mr. Chaudhry is not present in this meeting, because is a conflict of interest, may I say, this way, and so he decided not to participate. But believe me, I think we have a problem of procedure, because Mr. Chaudhry, or better, Bangladesh, is member of Asian Pacific Group and not member of Euro-Asia Group. And this is not Mr. Chaudhry, the problem, of course, is the if we accept his nomination, we will open a door, and in future, every geopolitical group may present names from other geopolitical groups. And this is not in accordance with our rules, with the rules we approved. And I believe we can have a problem for future. You can imagine, again, I have to give example of Belarus, but can give examples of China or something, if 12 plus decide to give to present names of Chinese oppositors. We will have a problem. That's why we try to avoid conflicts inside IPU, because IPU should always to look for a consensus, look always to see how it's possible to build bridges, and also it is a war, and not conflicts. There is a lot of conflicts in our world. We should not contribute to them. We should contribute to, if it's possible, to solve some of them, not to create more. And so, I needed to put the question, of course, to the board, because I believe this is one important issue that we needed to make definition before to go ahead with the plan of definition of criteria to take a final decision. Thank you. Allow me if I speak too much. I don't know if it's one of you colleagues wish to address. Gabriela, do you want? It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Very good to see you all. My dear friend, Rebecca, long time. How are you? Well, to all, I think it's wonderful to see lovely and friendly faces. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation. I think it has been a major step for IPU to arrive to this point for this prize, this very important award, commemorating our founding fathers, but also acknowledging what parliamentarians are doing all around the world. So congratulations, Mr. President, congratulations to IPU for this wonderful initiative. I remember when it was presented by Senator Kosachev a long time ago, and now it is a reality. So here we are, and I hope that we can decide for the best of the IPU.
Thank you. Speaker Kadaka or Professor Saidov?
Thank you, President, Secretary General. I think the establishment of the Kremer-Passy Prize is a historical moment. Mr. President, this is your initiative, and I think it's very important for the activity of IPU in modern time. And I think, according to the rules of Kremer-Passy Prize, each geopolitical group may nominate each candidate. If he the representation answered the according to the rule. For this reason, our Eurasia geopolitical group of the IPU have decided to nominate the ex-president of the IPU, the member of the Parliament of Bangladesh, Sabir Chaudhry. He is for the first Kremer-Passy Prize in this year. And I think this we participated in the history, and in the first time we decided who is the first Kramer Passy awarder. It's more important, and I think we'll be continue, and in the next assembly of IPU we'll be defined the first laureate of the Kramer Passy Prize. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Professor. Speaker, Madam Speaker Kadaka. We are not hearing you, Madam.
Mr. President, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good afternoon. We are happy to see you. Kampala is bright and tropical as usual. It's a pleasure to see the old faces. And I'm delighted that I'm part of this very historic activity. As you may recall, I'm one of those who always talked about the need to acknowledge Kramer and Passy in a more visible way. So this is really a very important step for us. I'm just disappointed that the African group did not nominate anybody. I wrote to them in April to remind them that they have a little time in which to respond, but they said they were not in a position to do so. But I do hope that for the future, we shall have some nominees from the African continent. I have I think that Survey should be a good fit, because one of the things I remember most about him, apart from the being the IPU president, he was he had been very involved in the SDGs, campaigning for the SDGs for many, many years. So for me, that's a plus for him, but I'd be happy to hear the views of the other members. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Secretary General, next steps that we should take to decide, to define the criteria, and also a time schedule before the final decision. May you help us, as usual.
Thank you, Mr. President. A great pleasure to see all these familiar faces here today. We did circulate today something that looked like an agenda for this meeting, because we thought that you should be more structured. It should have been sent to you earlier on, but there was an omission there. So you can see, Mr. President, and you touched on the right point, and that is, after the introductions, the definition of the criteria that the board members may wish to follow as they identify the candidate who is best placed to receive the award. And you have received the list of the nominees so far. And during this meeting, if you want to discuss on communications, but that's an internal matter for the Secretariat, what is important is that this first meeting be an introductory one, and the primary objective would be to identify specific criteria, that is trying to focus a little bit more on what is provided by the rules. Mr. President, you already indicated some background information on who could be acceptable or not acceptable as a nominee, but members here may wish to fine-tune the criteria which they will use to judge the suitability of the candidate who will receive the award. And my colleagues have prepared some material which I believe they will show on the screen so that this can guide your discussions about the criteria. And this need to be consistent with what is said in the rules and the, in the rules of the award. And they say that the candidate or the winner should be somebody who has helped to defend and promote the objectives of the IPU and who has contributed to unity, fairness, security, sustainability and equity in the world. So those are some of the values and objectives that the organization pursues that would be taken into consideration in addition to what you have mentioned, Mr. President, about democracy and its processes in general. So if you do agree, what we need to do now is to maybe do that PowerPoint presentation by my colleague Thomas Fitzsimmons, and then you can have that discussion on fine-tuning your criteria. Thereafter, I believe we will now go back, and you may wish to now delve more into the candidatures that have been received, the nominations that have been received, and begin to identify those whom you think have lived up to the criteria that you have agreed to. And then you can have another meeting, I don't know, in like a week or two to then decide. If it is possible today to have a short list, or at least eliminate people whom you think clearly do not fulfill those criteria, then you can do that. And then we can do further investigations on the remaining nominees so that when you do meet next time, maybe you have a little bit more information on the shortlisted nominees, and then you can take a decision. We do foresee that you should have at least one other meeting, it being understood that you need to arrive, as the president said, to, at the conclusion before the 30th of June, when the winner will be announced. So next steps, yes, one or two more meetings of the Cremapasi board prior to the announcement of the winner. If you are able to come to a conclusion during your second meeting, then of course you don't need a third meeting, but we are there at your bidding, and we will listen to whatever recommendations you make.
Okay, I agree. Do we have Thomas have just this slide, or is it possible to have more information about possible criteria? Relevance of work in 2022, defense of IPU values, impact and achievements, constituency and interest group. Thomas, do you want to explain a little bit? No. You are not with sound. I see that our president, Gabriela Cuevas, wish raised the hand. So we don't have Thomas. Please, Gabriela, you have the floor.
Only for one question. Can we make proposals, suggestions here for this suggested criteria?
Of course you may.
Okay, so once Thomas explains it.
Gabriela, excuse me, because we are creating this from the zero. And so all suggestions are very welcome. And for future, it will be more easier.
Thank you.
Correct.
So please, Gabriela.
Well, I'm not sure if this is going to be included into Thomas' explanation, but I believe that within impact and achievements, or perhaps in a different space, but I believe that replicability, I mean, the possibility of doing whatever achievements we are going to recognize on the nominee could be applied into other latitudes. I believe that part of this award spirit is how we can find the best practices, not only the person, but what they are doing in terms of democratic values, in terms of IPU values, but also how we can make this same exercise, for example, an interesting bill or a law or a policy or budget or a democratic exercise with their constituencies, how this can be replicated in other countries or parliaments. I mean, that could be also a variable, because that gives the incentives to other parliamentarians or parliaments to replicate the best practices.
Okay, so impact not just in the constituency, but also abroad, to how they spread the ideas also and the objectives of IPU and of democracy, of course, is one criteria. Thomas, do you want to, please?
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry, we're having a few technical issues in Geneva, but I think we're on track now. If we can just turn the echo off from my colleague, that would be appreciated. Can you hear me okay? Can I just check that the sound is okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay, good. So we've got we're suggesting four broad criteria to help guide your deliberations, with the overarching criteria of, as you read out from the rules, Mr. President, a parliamentarian or a group of parliamentarians who make an outstanding contribution to the defense and promotion of the objectives of the IPU, as well as to a more united, fair, secure, sustainable and equitable world. So what we thought would be a good way of sort of mentally trying to refine those criteria so that we have an element of objectivity and transparency in the criteria, which can only serve the prize and make it stronger and make it more credible, and especially set the tone for years to come, as we want this to be a sustainable prize, of course. So we suggested four broad criteria. The first one was the relevance of the work of that parliamentarian or parliamentarian in the year in which the award is given to the parliamentarian. So the relevance of their work in 2022 as one broad criteria. The second criteria being the defense of the IPU, its values, its principles, parliamentary diplomacy, building bridges, peace building, so the fundamental values of the IPU as a second group of broad criteria. The third one linked to what is the MP or the group of MPs, what have they achieved, what has been their impact, what change have they made to make the world a more united, fair, secure, sustainable and equitable place, so to make the world basically a better place. That's the third area of criteria. And then the fourth group, and I think Ms. Cuevas touched on it as well, is the idea of how is the MP considered, or what's the feedback from their constituency or from an interest group. You know, it could be young MPs, it could be Indigenous people, maybe women MPs, if they don't have a constituency. So what's the feeling at the grassroots level for this MP? And so when you have those four groups of criteria, which we've tried to portray in a Venn diagram, the idea is that the overlap would help you decide which candidate best fits, has the most overlap in the center of that circle, which we showed earlier. And that will help you give a little bit of objectivity and transparency to the selection for the criteria. Thank you, Mr. President.
The members of the board agrees with these criteria, And President Gabriela, do you think that after this exposition, your proposal is also included, or do you believe that it's better to have 1.5 to add to the criteria proposal by the Secretariat?
Could it be possible to have the diagram again at the screen? I think that could be more clarifying, please. Maybe we can include it, President, where it says impact and achievements. I know that Thomas proposed to have it more into constituency and interest group, but those are the ones who are receiving the policy or the legislation benefits. But I believe that this is on how this best ideas, the best practices, best legislation or policies could be replicated, could be some kind of leading by example. So perhaps in order to keep these four pillars that Thomas is presenting, perhaps it can be part of impact, achievements, and I don't know if the word is replicability of error. I don't know if there's a better word in English, but that's the spirit of the proposal I would like to make. Thank you.
President, can I say something?
Yes, please.
President, I have some difficulty with the first criteria, relevance of work in 2022. We are meeting in May 2022. So you're asking us to judge an individual from January to April and be able to take a decision. I think that's very difficult. Maybe you could remove the year and say relevance of work. But if it's a 2020, it means we must start assessing in January and we must do it very quickly. I think that's not very fair to the people we have in mind. So for me, if you could remove, say relevance of work, yes, but not there. The year is too constricted.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I agree, because we are giving a prize that also is a reward to a career as a parliamentarian, and not just the work done in 6 months or in 2021, for instance. I remember during the executive committee, I gave the example in Portugal. I think that it will be easy, if he's alive now, but if we have this prize 10 years ago, to give the award to the president, also MP, Mário Soares, because he defended all his life democracy. And as a parliamentarian, it was essential to achieve in my country a real democracy. And so, of course, if we decide to nominate him, the Portuguese delegation, is not specific because of the work done in 2020 or 2010 or 2021, but for a life dedicated as a parliamentarian to defend our values, to building bridges, to the state of law, the humanitarian respect, and so on, so on, so on. I think that the year is too restrictive. I agree with the President. We should try to change it. I see that President Gabriela Cuevas, Secretary General, ask the floor first. I see. Sorry, Marta.
I defer to Ms. Cuevas before I speak then.
So, President Gabriela.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, President. I agree with the proposal to expand the horizon of relevance But I believe that it could be perhaps a mix. I think it makes sense to evaluate the relevance of the work that is being proposed for this year. In that sense, I support the suggested criteria on that part, that the nomination has to be relevant right now. But at the same time, it needs a balance with, as it has been said, with the curriculum, with all the deeds that the person or the parliament has had. So I don't know if we can change that wording and to have that balance, the relevance of the work today, but also what the person or the parliament that is being nominated. Yes, it is about a life, but it has to be also relevant right now. I think that it could be some sort of balance.
Thank you, Gabriela. Secretary General?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Yes, I had some doubts about this particular reference to the year also, because in the rules, the only reference to the year is when they talk about it in Article 3, where they talk about the need for the parliamentarian or group of parliamentarians to be a sitting MP in the year to which the price relates. And it is not clear to us which year that would be. Is it 2022 or 2021? Because if you want to assess the work of the MP, then it should at least, at the minimum, be the work that they have done in the previous year. April is too early to judge somebody for 2022, I think. So it is something that you may wish to clarify. And I think that you are beginning to do that with the proposal that you look at the previous work of the MP, but also see how it relates or is relevant to the work of the organization today. So I just thought I should make that point because it had come to my mind also that we needed to clarify that.
Thank you, Secretary General. Dear colleagues, maybe we can try to create I say that in English, matrix. Matrix, a chart. Okay, I'm trying to. I am not the best one to do some designs, but with the criterias A, B, C, D, and the names, and each one of us will try to see if the candidates. With 1+ or 2+ or 3+, for instance, are in accordance with these criteria. And in the end, we will see something. Of course, not today, because also we don't have the President Casini and President Radi with us. And so it should be in the meeting with all. We are discussing the procedure, how to go on. But for instance, you can, why not do something like this? And so we will identify you, not we. You will identify all candidates in accordance with 1 or 2 or 3 of these criteria. For instance, with 1+, 2+, or 3+. And in the end, we can add and try to see who will be the winner. Is one suggestion, of course. President Gabriela?
Sorry, I forgot to lower my hand.
This is one possibility. I don't know if you have other way to do it. What do you think, Martin?
I think it's a good proposal, Duarte. that we establish that matrix. But before we can do that, following these discussions that you're having on the criteria, and we can prepare that for each of those candidates. I think we all agree that we're moving into uncharted waters, and we're hoping that we can get it right at this particular stage. And I speak under the control of Thomas and his colleagues, that we can provide that matrix soon after this meeting, if you do agree on the criteria that have been proposed or you are proposing. I did see Ms. Cuevas raise a couple of questions in the chat regarding, first of all, whether the nominations are still open. No, nominations are no longer open. 30 April was the deadline for nominations. When it comes to the current nominations, I think that on the face of it, we have thought that all the nominations met the criteria, the basic criteria of them being parliamentarians or sitting parliamentarians or group of parliamentarians during 2022. But the president has just recalled the discussions we had in the executive committee about, and I think it's in the rules too, about the nominations from the geopolitical groups needing to come from within the geopolitical groups and not cross geopolitical group nominations. I think that's what you're mentioning. And the rules actually, I think, clarify that, because when you look at Article 4.1, it says, in accordance with their own rules of procedure, the geopolitical groups shall accept nominations for the Kremer Pasi Prize from their parliamentary delegations, which means those members of the particular geopolitical group are those entitled to put forward nominations for consideration by their geopolitical groups and onward transmission to the IPU. So if you stick to those rules, then at least one candidature, one nomination does not fit that criterion, and that is the criteria, the nominee, Mr. Chowdhury, former president of the IPU, because he has been nominated by a different geopolitical group from his. So it is something that you may want to look into, given the fact that this is something new. Not everybody may be familiar with the rules now, and that might have escaped the minds of those who made this nomination. And it's up to you to decide whether you want to have some flexibility here and go back to the geopolitical groups and see if they want to, at least in that particular case, see whether it is the Asia Pacific group that is entitled to nominate Mr. Chowdhury. But so apart from that, Mr. President, I think on the face of it, the six other candidates are fine, I think.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you for your explanation. As I said in the beginning, of course, it is not something personal. I am a friend of Mr. Chowdhury, not at all. And you are also, I know. This is not a personal point. This is something that if you open one exception or not to the criteria that were approved, this is only the question that I raise. We understood also that President Casini wished to send one extra criteria. If he's available to send it, to discuss between ourselves, which will be helpful. Now it's not something forgotten. President Cuevas.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin, for that clarification, and thank you, President. I believe that we have a lot of friends within the nominees. So perhaps one of the agreements that we should take here is to apply Chatham House rules to the discussions of this jury. I mean, I think it could be awful if what we are deliberating here is being taken personally as an attack or a friendship issue, or I don't know. At the end, we are politicians and we know about egos and sensitivities. So I would like to propose that we adopt Chatham House rules for the purposes of this jury's work.
Mr. President?
Yes, please, Martin.
Yeah, I think Gabriela is right. I think, and this is stipulated in the rules, that the deliberations and the members of this board need to keep all the information confidential on the nominees. And so the deliberations are confidential, if I'm not mistaken, and that's Article 8 of the rules. So you are spot on. We have to be careful how we communicate. Well, I don't think we need to communicate any stage on the deliberations of the board until such time as the decision is taken.
Of course, because no one wished to offend a colleague. And so we know that when we choose someone, it is not possible to choose all nominees, and we needed to preserve the dignity of the others that didn't won the award. Thomas, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sorry, I'm going to... No, that works. Okay, so we've got issues with an echo in Geneva. Just on the point of confidentiality and the Chatham House rules, completely agree with that, but just from a communications point of view, we were going to suggest that in order to build momentum and excitement for the prize, running up to the 30th of June and International Day of Parliamentarism, that we communicate on the nominees and the fact that they have been admissible. So that we can also create that excitement, create that buzz through our communication channels and with the target audience of the 46,000 parliamentarians in the world. So it's just a factor to bear in mind. We were hoping that we would be able to communicate on the nominees, also to give them some visibility, to show what a parliamentarian does in different parts of the world, and to raise the visibility of both the work of a parliamentarian, the host parliament, but also the IPU, of course. So that was a suggestion from the communications team. Thank you.
Okay. So I think that for now, we have the information of the nominees. I believe that the secretariat will try to find more elements that can be important to the final decision. Second, the communication, and especially Thomas, will prepare a matrix with the different criteria and the names of the nominees. Third one, we understand that Professor Casini is not available now, but he wished to present to add one more criteria to the, and then maybe...
To have the chance.
Sorry?
To have the chance to do that.
Okay.
I will inform him and he may be willing to present an added criteria. Okay. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Duarte, I suggest then that he should do that as soon as possible, because this would go into the matrix and we would need to consult all of you again, all of the members again. If they do agree on that additional criterion, then they would go onto the matrix.
Okay.
So the earlier we receive that proposal, the better for everyone.
Yeah, just in case he wants or he doesn't want.
Okay.
I will inform you as soon as possible, immediately.
Thank you. And so maybe we can have another meeting 2 weeks from now. And on that meeting, we have also you did also your homework. Try to fill the matrix, and this is something to discuss. If it's possible to decide, if we need more time, we will have 1 week later on, I'm sorry, 1 week later on, other meeting to a final decision.
Okay. Duarte?
Yes, please, Martin.
Let me be the bad spoil spot here. As I said, we're all wading into uncharted waters and we're trying to find our feet. I'm sure we'll find our feet. But I was just, as we're talking, I was just wondering whether at some stage, if you wanted to be sure about your decision, you would want to invite your preferred nominees to come for the conversation with the board in order to have a clearer understanding of how they fit those criteria that you will have identified. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. It's not based on any experience or anything, but it's something that you may want to discuss and see if you want, if you decide that you have three nominees that are preferred nominees, you may want to invite them for a conversation. I say this because when you look at the nominations, there are very little that comes out of the presentation of their experience as an MP or a promoter of the IPU. You may want to dig deeper there. And I'm not saying that they are bad guys or good guys or anything. You may want also to find out, get more background information on them, just to make sure that you are not awarding or giving an award to somebody who may have a lot of skeletons in the cupboard, if I may say so. So I just put this on the table for you to reflect on whether you want to adopt that modality of maybe engaging in a short conversation with the shortlisted nominees before you take a final decision.
Okay, Martin. President Cuevas, please.
I think that Martin is right. It is not easy to be part of a board of a jury. I have had this experience before, and Martin knows very well Alan Stoga. He has this Talbert Foundation, and they give a yearly prize on leadership. It is a world-recognized prize. And they don't have an easy process because they receive literally thousands of applications. But if it is useful for the secretariat or for the IPU, I can put you in contact with the people at Talberg who is organizing all the selection process. In that case, they start from these thousands of applications, and then they have like a pre-selection, then the jury deliberates, and then there is a shorter group for these purposes of the interviews and digging for possible skeletons. So I don't know. I don't know really the backstage process that Alberg is following, but if that's useful for the IPU, please let me know, and I will be very glad to put you in contact.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriela. Yeah. I believe that it can be helpful to Martin.
Yeah, that would be most helpful. If not immediately, for future editions too, it would be helpful. So yes, if we could have the contact details, my colleagues and I will be pleased to follow up.
Okay, I will send an email to you, Martin, and to the people from Talbert so you can get directly in contact with them.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriela. So, with this helpful suggestion and with the criteria that we defined and with the metrics that we will to build, you may have your homework, you may do your homework, and we can be together in 2 weeks from now. And we can do, as Martin suggests, if we have now 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And if we came with 2 or 3 after it, 1 week after, maybe, if we don't have unanimously decided, we can try to have a small presentation in our meeting, and finally, a decision. You can proceed it this way. We can go from 7 to 2 or 3. If we decide unanimously, it's done. We don't need to do more. But if it is not possible to achieve this compromise, if we have 2 or 3 from 7, then we ask them to come to one meeting of the board, 10 minutes to each one, and after it, the board will take a decision. And I think we have time during the month of May to do it without urge. Is it okay?
Okay. Mr. President, me again. Thank you. I just want to be clear what the determination of this board is regarding Mr. Chowdhury. Do we understand that his nomination is out of order, does not comply with the criteria, and so it is no longer under consideration? Is that it? Is that something that we should take as a record of this meeting, Duarte?
I will ask. I understand that. But you and me, we don't vote.
Yes, we don't vote. That's why I'm asking.
And so I ask the members of the board present your opinion. And we have 3. Or we if we don't have the majority present, and I think we don't have the majority present, we keep them, and this is our first decision in our next meeting, because we needed to have a decision on that issue, of course.
Okay.
Because we have just 3, and so we don't have the Professor Casini, Mr. Hadi, and also...
Ms. Heptula. Ms. Heptula.
Yeah, Ms. Heptula. And so it's better to try to not to take a decision without the majority that can affect one of the nominees.
Very good.
It will be. Yes, Speaker Kadaka.
We need time because, on the one hand, we're talking about working together. If we are going to localize the nominations and say you cannot nominate someone who is outside, sorry.
We can hear you. Rebecca, we can hear you. But now we can't.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
No, my difficulty with that question is that we work together in IPU, all the geopolitical groups. So we meet, we know each other. So I can present a candidate who is not from my group because I know his or her capacity. So for me, we need to think very seriously about this position. We can't take a decision now, but let's reflect on it because otherwise we are going to localize the nomination, say, if you're an African, don't go outside Africa. But here I'm going to take a decision about other geopolitical groups. So let's think very carefully about it. Yeah, thank you.
President Gabriela.
Thank you. I believe that, if we have rules to apply right now, we are going to need to apply them because those were the rules that defined this price. But I believe that it could be good for the IPU that at the end we can also prepare a document with the help of the Secretariat on the recommendations that we would like to make back to the Executive Committee. I believe that Rebecca is absolutely right. It doesn't have to be a decision only for a geopolitical group to make proposals because IPU is a very big family and we We believe in the spirit of a world dialogue. But I would like I am going to dedicate time definitely to read the rules. I haven't done that. Perhaps that's why I have a lot of questions and comments. But I believe that first we need to apply the rules, but second, we can also start working on a document, which are the recommendations or the lessons that we would like to send back to the executive committee for their, discussion or perhaps amendments to the current rules.
Thank you. Allow me to say, in the question of principle, I don't have a problem if a geopolitical group A nominates someone that is coming from a country of the other geopolitical group. I think the rules were this way to achieve the essential consensus to be approved. As you said, Gabriela, it was an old idea presented by Mr. Kozachev, and it always had problems to be accepted. And because some countries, I will not put the names on that, some countries were afraid that it can be used against themselves. And so that's why for a long time we discussed the creation of the award and it never passed to a reality. And the consensus we got at the Executive Committee was that it should be presented by a delegation. So Portugal will not present someone from Spain. Should be presented by the Spanish delegation, and Portugal may only present MPs from Portugal. And second, should have the support of the geopolitical group. Because otherwise, some countries have a lot of reserves, may I say this in a kind way, to the award. And so this is the possible consensus we got. And if we open the discussion for future, of course, it's something that we may improve, it can be put on the table. But I'm afraid that we will give a step back to the award. Because otherwise, the countries that are with reserves in the beginning, that's okay. Approved the award may have a stronger reservation in future if we try to change the rules. This is what happened during the discussion of the Executive Committee, but I think that Martin can confirm what I said. Okay, so the decision about Mr. Chaudhry will be taken in the beginning of our next meeting. And after it, we will try to have a short list. And with a short list, we will invite the two or three final nominees, to make a small presentation of 10 minutes. Of course, in secret, they will not be present all together in one of our sessions. And I don't have any other issue to raise. Do you have, Martin, or dear colleagues?
I don't. Thomas, I think you have enough material there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Professor Zaidov. Thank you, Speaker Kadaka. Thank you, President Gabriela. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Rabini. We will see soon, maybe 2 weeks from now. Today is 11 on 25, same hour.
Okay.
Because same hour is the easiest to the to America and to Asia. If okay, so at 3 p.m. Geneva time, 2 p.m. in Lisbon, on 25 of May. Thank you all.
Yes.